Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Crossland, Corsa and Mokka. Three good reasons to visit the Opel Open Road event.
Now, Ireland currently generates 1.27 million tonnes of food waste a year, with the average family throwing away up to €1,000 worth of food every year. Now, Food Cloud is a non-profit social enterprise. It links up businesses that have surplus food with charities and community groups that need it. And Food Cloud has asked some of the country's leading chefs to take part in an online series called All Taste, Zero Waste, about the huge problem that food waste poses in Ireland. And two of the chefs involved in that online series, Holly Dalton, who's chef and director of Conbini Condiments, and Jess Murphy, head chef and owner of Kai Restaurant in Galway, join me now with their top tips for reducing food waste and also recipes on using food that we might normally throw in the bin. Good morning to you both. Thank you for joining us, Holly and Jess. Holly, we'll start with you. Your general tips for avoiding food waste start with storage. Well, probably start in the supermarket with only buy what you need, but when you bring it home, what should you do when it comes to storage?
Yeah, storage is massive. And like, you know, I'm not saying that I always do this. Like often I, you know, pull out the drawer of my vegetable drawer and I have like, you know, herbs cemented to the bottom of the drawer. And I'm like, okay, that's not great.
Or the liquid cucumber.
So bad. Wild. Nasty. Invest in Tupperware. Okay. Because obviously I don't, and you know, I used to do this a lot as well, is like cling film everything. That's not good. Obviously, single waste plastic, we know that's bad. Invest in Tupperware. I also got these things. They're like made of beeswax.
I have those. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah. They're brilliant. You can wrap them around cheese, things like that. Like I use a lot of cheese, so that's what I use my one for. But definitely invest in Tupperware. And like you started with, like only buy what you need. And if you find that you've just done a big shop, which like everybody does, I do a big shop every week as well. And then suddenly, you know, you find like, okay, this week's actually like really busy for me. I don't know if I'm going to get to cook all this stuff. Like freeze it or like break it down and like, you know, portion it up. Or like, you know, you say like, okay, I need to incorporate this into my lunch now this day or my breakfast this day, you know, like, so try and plan ahead. If you think you're going to be busy, you know, don't leave it until Sunday morning and you're like, oh God, there's so much food here and I actually don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, it's all about planning, isn't it,
absolutely.
Jess? I'm sure you'd agree with that.
Oh, 100%. And like the true fact is like never go shopping when you're starving either, because for some reason you'll buy like 500 grams of chia seeds for no reason at all. because, you know, new body, new you, big shop, new week, all that kind of stuff like kicks into it. So, yeah, it's hard to just buy for what you need. But I kind of spent most of my time in the last lockdown hunting through the bargain bins. Stunning produce. We're talking about the ripest mangoes on earth. Beautiful peppers. It's basically what other people don't eat, which is really nice stuff like lemongrass and chili and everything like that in the bargain bins.
Just on the cheese, because Holly said that she uses a lot of cheese. You have a tip for how to make the cheese last a bit longer?
Oh, absolutely. So like, you know how you buy cheese and then you're like, oh, that's it. I'm not eating cheese again. I like save all the nubbins and I put them in a Ziploc bag and I chuck them in the freezer, because if somebody comes around or you're making like cheese scones or anything like that, you can just actually, like, it doesn't matter what cheeses they are. They all go together really well if you melt them down and put them in a cheese scone or a quiche, you know?
I did not know you could freeze cheese.
Oh, no, absolutely.
But not for consuming in the way you would fresh cheese, I assume, Holly.
No, you wouldn't defrost the brie and have it with a glass
of
wine.
No, that wouldn't be good. No.
If you were like really desperate, yeah. Like if you, that was all you had going on, like maybe.
Yeah, you kind of would, but like especially in a toasty. But anyway, there's no lows.
But Jess, you're not mad about the 2-for-1 deals?
No, I hate them. I think they're a false economy. Because like you buy, what are you going to do? Like buy 3 bags of pears and you have like 2 out of one bag, you know, just buy what you need. Mm-hmm. Like realistically, I mean, if you really love pears, you might have one a day, right? And then you have the odd day that you do a wildcard day where you might not have the pear. So buy four pears. You don't need three bags of like pears. Like,
I need to know where you both stand. And Holly, you start with this one for me on mold on food.
Okay, maybe this is like a bit controversial, but this is what I heard. I don't know if science is going to back me up here. But basically, if a food is kind of mostly liquid based, right? For example, say like cottage cheese, or if you have like a cordial or something in the fridge and there's mold on top, it's like, okay, that's gone. That's bad. Because basically mold like travels easier through liquid. Now, look, I'm not a scientist. This is just what I heard. But if it's, I feel like we're talking about cheese a lot, but it's definitely relevant. If it's hard, right, like a loaf of bread, if you have like a big loaf of bread and it's like unsliced and there's a bit of mold on the end, just cut that off. You know, it's fine. It's not going to travel as easy through like a solid thing. Same with hard cheeses. Just cut that off. It's totally fine. I think my parents are probably like screaming listening to this because for them, they
I'm screaming
be like,
a little bit on the
you're,
inside.
You're crazy. But look, I do it all the time. I've never gotten sick. It tastes the same. Like, don't. I just think it's a sin to throw out like a big kilo thing of cheddar because there's like a tiny bit of mold.
Yeah,
on
just scrape it off, cut it off.
I kind of agree with you on that, I have to say. I just, when you speak about liquids and molds, I feel a bit sick. But you are throwing that away anyway.
You're throwing that away.
Yeah.
Throw that away.
Jess, are you on the same page?
Oh, absolutely. But like, I come from a farm in New Zealand in the middle of nowhere. Now, it's not like you would pop down to a shop. Like, we didn't even have buses and taxis. So, you know, if you were hungry, it was worth the risk and you'd do it. You know, so I'm 42. I'm alive. Just saying, science. Yeah. So, you know, like, absolutely. I mean, it's like, you know, milk is like, smell it, you know, also smell it. Like, milk is normally good after like 2 days past its use by date if it's been in the fridge. You know,
yeah.
Same with yogurt. Like, it's just, you know, yourself, like, use your cup on.
And even if the milk has turned a little bit, Holly, you can still find a use for it.
Absolutely. Like, I make pancakes at least once a week. Maybe that's like the best thing to do. But I often use all like, it's like if I have a bit of milk going bad or a bit of yogurt. Now, look, not if the yogurt's moldy, but if it's still a little bit kind of sour, you can use it in pancake batter and it actually adds to the kind of aeration in the pancakes. It makes them like very fluffy. It's basically kind of like using buttermilk and just add like a little extra squeeze of lemon, or I use a little bit of vinegar into like milk that's maybe not the best. And then you don't need to like go into the new milk that you just bought. Now, in saying that as well, before I came here this morning, okay, I made myself a little cappuccino at home. And I'm not going to lie, right? The expiration date on the milk was the 30th of November. It smelts totally fine. The milk was totally fine. Like,
it's the 6th of December.
I'm just saying, like, smell it. Honestly, the milk is perfect. People are shaking their heads.
No, can't,
but like,
can't.
I grew
up. Sour
think,
milk. I just can't. I can't do
but
that.
But it's not sour. I'm telling you it's not.
I don't
sour.
Want to find out though. I don't want to smell the milk. Sorry,
yeah,
I just don't.
And it's early in the morning. Yeah. I get it.
I'm just like, if you're hungry, you do it. Like,
yeah, maybe.
So, you know.
Or you do without.
Or using pancakes. Option three.
Potatoes. Potatoes that are beginning to grow roots and are a bit squishy. Mm. They're going into the compost bin in my house.
Mm.
Discuss.
The compost bin is like, okay, first of all, I don't have a compost bin. I live in Dublin City Centre. You know what I mean? Let's get real here. You know, I don't have a compost bin. But I like, for me, everything can go into a soup unless it's like, okay, if it's a squishy potato, maybe. Look, maybe not. But if it's a bit cactusy, like I say, if it's getting a bit cactusy, just trim those bad boys off.
Yeah.
Peel the potato.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I think, and it's generally fine. I mean, squishy, I think, is a whole other ball game.
Squishy's different.
But
squishy.
The roots.
Squishy's, like, weird. If it feels like yourself, then don't eat it. You know?
If it has the same consistency as your flesh and skin.
As yourself, don't eat it.
Don't eat it.
No,
really good
not
advice.
Even in a soup.
Very simple to follow. Do you agree with that, Jess, that you would just throw it into a soup?
Oh, yeah, totally. But, you know, like, you can freeze mash down as well and, like, make box tea and stuff like that. And that's always a good Sunday brunch staple, like.
Gosh, I'd never think to freeze mash.
Neither would I, but that's actually a really
good
idea.
The freeze is your best friend, lads. Come on.
That's such
we
a good idea
this.
Because, like, if you're going to make potato cakes or something, or like potato farls, and it's like, oh, the recipe is like, oh, I need 200 grams of mash. It's like, okay, I'm not going to start making the mash.
No
now.
One's making mash. No one's making it from scratch.
No one's
like,
ever
have
done
have
that.
That
like, it's in the freezer.
Done. Yeah.
Come on.
Stale bread. Jess, what are you doing with the stale bread?
Oh, everything and anything. Like, every country has its own stale bread thing. Like, you know, in the Middle East, we have fattoush. And then in Italy, we have panzanella. It sounds so exotic, doesn't it?
And in Australia, like, what are you doing?
Australia, I don't know because I'm actually from New Zealand.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
I thought you were going to tell me about the Australian jaffle. That's why I asked you that question.
Oh, sorry. The jaffles. The jaffles are like God's own creation. It's like, you know, people, other chefs have truffles. I have jaffles. And they're basically two, like they're a toasted sandwich, right? But they're two pieces of sliced pan, basically fried in butter in a frying pan. Or, you know, the, like, obviously you can buy the, you know, the sandwich toasty machine from Super Value or whatever. They're like really luxury products. They're about 12 euros each. See, I just love them because if you have Mont d'Or and, you know, you have all the girls around, or actually we're not allowed anyone around anymore. if you're just eating a whole Mont d'Or for yourself, you're going to feel sick halfway through. So you put it aside, do a really amazing Mont d'Or jaffle. You can put in like, you know, chili con carne with like mozzarella. Mm. Everything can go in a jaffle. Like there's room for all God's creatures and so in between two slices of bread.
It's a toasty.
It's a toasty, yeah. Yeah,
with the mouldy cheese and the stale bread.
Yeah, but like, you know, it's more exotic if you call it something foreign. Yeah, always.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You have a good leftover recipe, Holly, for rice.
Mm.
What are you doing there?
It's groundbreaking. It's called fried rice. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Stunning.
It's pretty
next level.
Is it safe?
You know, we hear if you've leftover rice, you need to be careful about reheating the rice.
Mm. Well, basically my kind of advice is if you make a load of rice, which I always do because I have a rice cooker and I cannot recommend getting a rice cooker enough, like just try and cool it as quickly as you can. Like if anything that you're not going to eat like that in that sitting, spread it on like a baking tray or like a little small tray, and I just like put it in my fridge nearly straight away. Just it just needs to be cold. Like you don't leave it sitting out. And that I got a piece of advice before from a chef, and it was like, think of like room temperature fried rice as dangerous as like raw pork. It genuinely is.
Ooh.
So don't mess around with it. Like just get it in the fridge straight away. But in terms of reheating it from when it's cold, it's totally safe. It's totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fried rice like aficionado, and it's also great if you have like, you know, I cook a lot on my own because my husband's also a chef and he works like nights and stuff. So it's like, okay, I might have like half a pepper, half a carrot, you know, like a few kind of peas knocking around the drawer. And fried rice is amazing for that. And there's so many amazing as well, like Irish producers making things like, you know, peanut rayu, like white mausu. I'm a really big fan of theirs. And they also have this new like Szechuan ketchup that is outrageous. I made fried rice during over the weekend with that. Oh my God. Next level. And you put a few toasted sesame seeds and, you know, scallions on top. And it's like, okay, sorry, I didn't realize when I was in a restaurant. You know, I don't remember going out for dinner. It's amazing. I love fried rice.
Bananas, Jess, this is just your final one here. So those bananas, they're on the turn. You look at them the next day, they're a little bit blacker the next day, and then they end up in the compost bin with the squishy potatoes. Before you throw them away, though, or before you try to make banana bread, because we're all sick of banana bread, you have a something new to suggest.
Yeah, absolutely. So you save all the peels, first of all, and you put them in a jar of water, and you leave them there for 3 days, and then you feed that liquid of water to all your houseplants, and it's full of potassium and everything your little houseplants need, and therefore you're not using fertilizer, so therefore that's another kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then the banana and rum jam is basically a stunning kind of jam that you can make with old black bananas, and you make it into like a little compote, and you can either have it with rum in it. I put dark rum in it. You can either have it with porridge, or that I'm saying drinking in the morning is great. and porridge, or you can put it on top of ice cream, or, you know, you can swirl it through something, you know, fold it through whipped cream for a nice little dessert. But it's really handy.
It sounds it. And look, drinking in the morning, like, you know, we're having the mouldy bread, we're having the mouldy cheese, now we're drinking in the morning. Absolute pleasure to talk to you both. Jess Murphy, Holly Dalton. Just look up All Taste Zero Waste Food Cloud Initiative with lots of chefs, including Holly and Jess. We'll take a break.